Hello, and thank you for popping back to ManxRadio.com for another podcast.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
My MyTunes guest for this week is no stranger to these here studios, because if you're a regular listener to Kerry Gascoigne on a Saturday night, this man will be getting you in a party atmosphere. Please welcome top DJ and ace mechanic as well. Let's not deny that. He's with me, Neil Cowie. Hello.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for coming on my tunes.
Absolutely delighted.
Well, you see, the thing is, there's all sorts of amazing synergy here, because 1886, which we'll come to later in the week, where you DJ,
yes,
as a regular basis, are our good friends and sponsors now on the Mystery Sound of Man.
So, well, isn't it strange these things have a way of working themselves
all
around?
All works together. Yeah. We'll talk about that later. But I want to start at the very beginning, which is, of course, a very good place to start, as Julie Andrews, of course, said. When did you first think, I want to be a DJ?
At Ballycomy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the school pop group, and I stumbled into that, really, because I could play the drums. In our year, we had a really interesting year, because it kind of came together in a really odd way. There was Paul Tier and Darren Burns, Morton Jarvis, Lisa Newson, Jane as well, Jane Skillicorn, as she was then. And Jan Norris was one of our teachers. He was a drama teacher. And she said, oh, well, you know, why don't you guys, because it was a sort of a bit of a band originally. And then she said, oh, you know, maybe we could get some people together and we'll have a pop group. So that's what we did. And we literally started rehearsing tunes of the day. So before you knew it, we were playing Duran Duran. And
good on you.
Yeah.
There was music in your family though, wasn't there, before you started playing the drums?
Oh, yeah. My dad's a professional drummer. He's 85 next week. So happy birthday, Reg. He's a professional drummer and came to the Isle of Man. That's how I was born here, as a session drummer and cabaret drummer when the Palace first opened. And he was sent over to back some of the artists of the time. Met my mum and then kind of made some roots here, and the rest is history. Yeah, so he's taught me to play the drums as a kid. I think his party trick really was he put me on drums at about two or three, and he had drum lessons in the house, and I would just literally sit there mesmerised by it and jump on a drum kit, and I was doing sorts of all sorts of sambas and cha-chas and things, easy things, sitting as high as I could across a drum stool and stood up hitting the drums. But no, it was fantastic, and I think he was super proud of that because his little lad was playing the drums. So yeah, it was quite a strange thing, but yeah, I loved it.
But then you thought, I want to be at those decks. I want to be on the turntables.
Ballycomeen School Discos.
Yeah.
Looking up at my metalwork woodwork teacher, I think it was, Mr. Thornley. And he wouldn't let you near them. His old Citronic decks. That was his domain, and no one was getting near them. And then I used to look at this Radio 1 poster right in the main hallway by the offices with all, I think, Bruno Brooks and people like that on. And I used to look at that and go, oh my God, that's just a dream. I'd love to be a DJ. So I got asked when I was leaving school, so we're looking at careers and what do you want to do? I said, oh, I'm going to work in a nightclub. She just laughed.
Yeah, well, they would, wouldn't they? It wasn't a career route. It wasn't something that people did. No, you want to do something else. Mm. But you did get a break in the leader.
I did, yep. I was really lucky. My older brother, Colin Cowie, he was a light and sound technician. And he'd worked with the Gaiety Theatre and then away across in the UK. And he worked with a lot of touring agencies as well, with live sound and bands and groups. And then he came back to the Isle of Man and got the job working for the Lido with Jimmy Hughes there, making up a team of the Sound and Lights guys. And literally, I think he just felt sorry for me and said, why don't you come down and give us a hand? And I think they needed somebody with the skills that I had at the time, which was an ability to put down gaffer tape. So that was it. So I literally started helping them out, putting monitor speakers out, gaffer tape and everything in sight, looking after the back line. And then, it just went through the whole summer like that. And each week I'd do a little bit more and a little bit more. And all I could see is these turntables in the DJ booth. And eventually they let me loose on them, and it just went from there. It was just a dream to start getting any opportunity to play music in the biggest nightclub in Europe at the time. It was just a dream come true. And I practiced and played with these 2 12-10s and I think an old Formula Sound mixer they had. They didn't have a really good mixer for the DJs, but it was just great. And I just spent the summer there, and eventually got to do like a warm-up before the likes of Stu Lowe,
Heath
Craig, Chris Shaw.
Yeah.
That's how it started, and I just got doing it then, and it was amazing. Dream come true.
What's your first choice for the week?
So my first choice is David Bowie, Ashes to Ashes. I absolutely love this tune. It's a tune that I first saw on Top of the Pops in 1981 and was completely fascinated by the video. And the hook at the end of it, where it just goes all synth, I was like, oh my God, I've never heard anything like this before. And I've always loved that song, and I will never stop loving that song. It's a brilliant tune.
Ashes to ashes, funk to funk it, we know.
My Tunes guest this week, as we heard yesterday, was learning to be a DJ behind the decks, the record decks, that is, at the Lido, Lido, you can choose. When they pulled that place down, you must have been, well, must have been horrible to watch.
Heartbroken. It was such a massive formative part of my life from 15 years. In fact, before that, really, because I remember when it first changed to be the high-tech laser disco, I'd read about it in the paper and I saw the pictures and I just thought, this place is amazing. Then to get a job there, amazing. Then to work there over all those years, the golden years of the Lido, if for people of my age, was just a dream come true. So to see it go was absolutely heartbreaking because it was just at the birth of the super club. And the Lido was, for all intents and purposes, a super club in waiting. And if only it had just been kept that little bit longer and just a little bit more love put into it, I'm convinced that through the 90s, it would have been another super club for people to come to. And I think it just would have reinvented itself, but it didn't.
You know, I get the feeling that with a building as beautiful and with a history as amazing as that, that spool forward to, if it was still standing today, they'd never let it come down.
No.
Never.
It would have gone on to be a multi-purpose venue and still retained being a nightclub. It had the cinema on the side at that point. It would have just been repurposed, but it's at its heart, it still would have been a really, really great venue.
Yeah, but it went. Where did you move on to from then in terms of being a DJ?
Well, the next thing that happened was that the Moons bought the Casamona Hotel. And Mr. and Mrs. Moon, as I got to know them, and Mark Moon in years after that, absolutely lovely people. And they had that hotel at their heart. So they had taken part of it. I think it was the old Diamonds Club or Dukes, it was called at one time, and turned that into their own in-house nightclub, which was called Jimmy B's. And I saw the advert in the paper, because you should just get the paper, there's no social media, looking for a sound and light technician and DJs. And I thought, oh, I could have this. Sure, I can have this. I'm like 21, 22 years old, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'll do anything. I wrote into the advert an application telling them what I'd done. I actually wrote an application for my brother Colin and didn't tell him. for the lighting job, and didn't hear anything, and then it opened, so it was open about a week, 2 weeks, and then I got a message off my mum and dad that somebody had phoned up from the Casamona and could I ring them, which was Derek Norris. He was the general manager, and he said, could you come down, we want to have a chat. So I thought, well, yeah, that's fine. So I got a hold of my brother Colin and said, I hope you don't mind, but I wrote a job application for you and we've got an interview this afternoon. So he was like, really? And I'm like, yeah. So we went to the Casamona and we got talking to them and he said, could you come down tonight and have a look and tell us what you think and what if you think it's good, bad? Because it wasn't working. It really wasn't working. They'd opened with this club. We had a look and I mean, it was state of the art at the time. Yeah, the lights and sound were phenomenal. We just said, look, we can come in here. We can radically transform. There was mobile DJs in there at the time. And the best will in the world for mobile DJs. You're either a nightclub DJ or a mobile DJ. At that time, the two never crossed. And so we asked them politely, could we put our DJs into there? People that we knew were going to make a difference. And boy, did it make a difference. It went from a lackluster crowd in there to within a month being the venue in the Isle of Man. And that went on for 8 years and it was massive. It was the biggest club of the 90s in the Isle of Man by a country mile.
How many people did you get in there legally?
Yeah, well, I think you could get about, if it was fully open upstairs and downstairs, somewhere between 650 and 750 people in. There was times we had quite a lot more than that. And the queue outside would be as big as the crowd that was inside. If you weren't in there by 10:30, 11, you were in trouble. So you had to get in there. So that was great. It was a phenomenal time. I cut my teeth as a promoter there as well because I never brought a DJ to the Isle of Man. And then by the end of Jimmy B's, we'd done absolutely loads of them with my partner in crime with DJing, Andy Waddington. We started bringing over some of the super clubs of the time, Miss Moneypenny's and Gatecrasher, to name two. Individual artist, Ariel, guy from Argentina. We had New York DJs coming there, guys from London, Liverpool. The last Saturday night of the month, they were really generous to us. They said we could take the door if we provided the entertainment, and they would take the bar. And that was the deal.
Good deal.
Really good.
We'll talk about radio tomorrow, because the adventures in radio started a little bit after that. That'll be tomorrow. Give us today's choice, sir.
Okay, so today's choice is a band I absolutely love, ABC. The Lexicon of Love is and will be one of my most favourite albums of all time. Every track on it is great. The production on it is just unbelievable, considering it was made in 1982. Trevor Horn, that man just weaves magic with music, and it's stunning. The strings are amazing. The hairs on your arms go up whenever you hear those tracks. I've seen them live, and I've seen them when it was orchestrated. And to watch that, I took my wife Colette, and we just had the best time. We're both massive 80s fans of music, and this just blew me away.
Guest on My Tunes all this week has been entertaining thousands and thousands of people in hot, dark and exciting places for many, many years. A DJ in a nightclub who, at some stage, ended up on the radio, on Energy FM. You didn't come on Manx Radio. You didn't get... Stu didn't help you in here, Stu Lowe, I'm thinking.
No.
But you went to Energy.
I did go to Energy, yeah. It was about the time when Manx Radio had Kick FM. Dewan Turner had just started to get together his station. He'd asked me, would I be interested? I was like, yeah, I'll be really interested. And then it just went cold. So a couple of weeks went by, the radio station started, and then he got in touch and he said, do you want to come down and see me? So I was like, yeah, cool. I'll have a chat. He goes, I've got this idea that you could do something on a Sunday afternoon. So I said, well, okay, what time? He went, 4 till 7. I said, right across the top 40 then. And he goes, yeah, but I want you to do your nightclub thing, do a 3-hour show of dance classics and chat. Well, I'd never spoke on a radio station. I'd never done anything. So I'm like, yeah, cool. Just again, just thinking, well, yeah, why not? Don't say no, just do it. So I did. And the first show, I kind of been practicing with myself all week thinking, what do I say? How do I open it? And they'd show me the desk and that was great and I could work that okay. And then I got to the just after 4 o'clock, did all the news and did like a jingle and track went in. And I just sat there like an absolute bag of nerves. And I thought, oh my God, I can't say anything. I was like, really? But anyway, about 4:15, I suddenly thought, well, I'm going to open the mic. And up it went. And I broke the ice. And once I'd done that, I was okay. I was away. And people go, I can't even believe that because you are a proper chatterbox.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, I really was an absolute bag of nerves. But I loved it. I really did. And I did that. I think I did that show for about 5 years. I really, really enjoyed doing radio, and I would still do. It's a great medium, and music speaks volumes. So for me, to be involved in music, involved in radio, was absolutely a delight.
Well, it's always good when you get up here on a Saturday night with Kerry. It's always a good listen, that, I can tell you.
Oh, I love it.
On Manx Radio now, boys and girls, he's with us, you see. We've nicked him. Let's have today's track, Neil.
Okay, so there's a bit of a theme developing now, because here we are. We're still in the 80s, aren't we? So.
Yes.
But I was a massive fan of the Smiths and Morrissey. And to see him in the Villa Marina, you still have to pinch yourself now to think, how was Morrissey in the Villa Marina? But he was. And it was probably one of the best gigs that they've ever had on there. Love him or hate him, Morrissey's Morrissey. And he's an absolute genius of a man. The band was amazing. And to think they played, I think, the Manchester Arena only a few nights before to come to the Villa Marina. And he loved it. He absolutely loved the night. And so I've always been a massive fan of the Smiths. So my song today, and I'll dedicate this to my wife because we are huge fans, is There Is a Light That Never Goes Out.
Take me out tonight. People and I want to see life. Driving in your car. Oh, please don't drop me home. Because it's not my home, it's their home, and I'm welcome no more. And if a double-decker bus crashes into us. Take me anywhere, don't care. Strange fear gripped me and I just couldn't ask. Take me out tonight. Oh, take me anywhere, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. Driving in your car, I never, never want to go home, because I haven't.
Tunes on Manx Radio. I'm a guest all this week, Neil Cowie, DJ across the years, and now regularly, I'm glad to say, jumps on board the Saturday Night Show with Kerry Gascoigne, and always entertains and thrills us with your choices and what you're up to. Let's just have a moment, though, because obviously there needed to be more money coming in than the DJing was giving you in total, so you learnt how to fix things, mostly motor cars.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, it is a funny synergy to everything, because through working in the Lido, and my brother Colin and Jimmy Hughes, who was from Liverpool, knew a guy called Mike Smart, who became a tax exile in the Isle of Man. And he owned a big garage in Liverpool called Smart Tyres, who were, at the time, Britain's biggest mail order motorcycle distributor. And he decided to move to the Isle of Man and knew Jimmy. And he was opening, not really a garage at the time, but a store to store all his paperwork and run his offices from here. And he said to Jimmy, do you know anybody that could help me out? Paint some floors, do this kind of stuff. Give me a hand, just a general hand for a little while. And Jimmy said, well, yeah, I'll ask Neil. He says, he's like Colin's brother. He goes, oh, I know Colin, yeah. Mike's very posh. And anyway, so I got to meet him and... he said, oh, can you give us a hand? I gave him a hand for a few days. And he said, what are you thinking of doing now? I went at the end of the summer. I went, I don't know. I think I might go back to school. Don't know. Maybe think about doing A-levels. He said, what if I could offer you a job that would pay you more money than any A-level will ever pay you? Well, at the age of sort of 16, I was like, well, it sounds good. And he's a very charismatic guy. So I was like, yeah, do you know what? Why not? I sort of never really say no to things or try and, you know, see the best in everything. So I did. I went and worked for Mike, and he taught me all about tyre buying, purchasing, stock control, the garage business. And really, I didn't start as a mechanic. I started an administration of a garage business. And then from there, I stayed with Mike till I was 22. And we went through the process of selling his businesses in the UK, and I knew the industry quite well, and I knew all the big players in the industry and tyre purchase and stuff. I decided that I wanted a bit of a change, so I did. And I left and went to work for the post office as a postman. I just completely walked away from all of it and spent 5-6 years working for the post office. And then an opportunity came my way to get back into the business. So I thought, yeah, why not? So I did, and opened a garage over here and another fast fit operation. And then that came to an end, and then decided that I was going to have a couple of years off, which I did. And then met Dean and said, I'm thinking of having a bit of a change or opening another business. What are you doing garage-wise? And I went, well, you know, I'm always keen. So he got me to come along and help him set it all up and manage it all, which is what I do now and have carried on doing. And we now have a pretty successful operation down at Quayside.
So Quayside. Got to get that in.
Or as Chris Kinley would say, cheese slice.
He would. He always would.
He loves a bit of that.
Yeah, of course he does.
And now it's, I mean, that's grown into a monster down there. We've got the new outlet, which is Mega Garage, and then the new electric vehicle centre.
Yeah,
that we've
opened that's exciting. You got in with that nice and quick, because
whatever's
happening, it is the future.
Yeah, it's certainly the near future, and currently that's the way that vehicles are going to go in the hybrid and electric, and it's a very, very complex business to be involved in. You can't just suddenly start saying you're going to service an electric vehicle, but if you know what you're doing and you've done the training, then it's you know, it's a good business, and that's where we are. We're leading the field in the Isle of Man.
Let us finish off though with 1886. You're back on the decks down there in Regent Street, giving it rooty toot.
Yep, love it.
What a building! What a history! What a venue!
It is absolutely amazing from floor to ceiling.
Yeah,
it is a brilliant, brilliant venue, brilliant building, super people that run it. Somebody asked me the other week, is it? Enjoy it as much as you enjoy Jimmy B's, because Jimmy B's is really what most people would know me from. And I just said I enjoy it more now. I feel I've got to the point in life now where I'm actually really enjoying my craft as a DJ and mixing. And, you know, I mean, it's all gone very digitized now and EDM, and there's no real vinyl. I still play vinyl for a bit of fun for people, but now it's all on controllers and Pioneer controllers, and it's a different art, and it's brilliant. But the club itself is superb. We've got the main room downstairs, which most people would probably be familiar with. You've gone in for a beer or watching sport, and then it turns into a club and a live music venue at night. And then where you come up to me, which is in the cocktail lounge, that's a sort of a little bit cooler. It's got a capacity of about 150, 160 people, and it's over 25s crowd. So it's right up my street, and I get away with playing anything I want.
That can't be bad. Let's have your final track of the week. I think we know where this might be going.
So, okay, we love disco, and disco has been a real big part of my life all the way through. And this guy is an absolute genius with his old playing partner, and it's got to be Nile Rodgers. It's got to be Chic, and it's got to be Good Times, because that's what we like.
Thank you. And I imagine I might hear this at 1886 at some stage?
Regularly.
Thank you. Neil, it's been great fun. All the best to you, to the guys at 1886, and to Quayside, and to all your projects. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks, Mark. It's been absolutely brilliant.
Many thanks to Neil Cowie for choosing four cracking tracks on another My Tunes podcast with me, Mark Tiley. Don't forget, keep coming back to manxradio.com. There are more podcasts being added every day.